Thank you, choir. What a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the Apostles' Creed. You know, I teach Christian tradition, among other courses, at Point Loma Nazarene University, so we get to talk a lot about the Apostles' Creed, and it's just neat to hear it put to such beautiful, beautiful music. This was the earliest Christian creed, we think, began as part of baptismal rituals among early Christians. Probably began in the Church of Rome. That's probably more than you asked for, but since we're going to read Paul's letter to the Romans in a minute, that's maybe the segue of the Church of Rome and the Apostles' Creed. Our first reading this morning comes from Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you, Abram, all the families or all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verses 13 to 17. Romans chapter 4. "What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something that is due. But to one who without works trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness." And then down to verse 13. "For the promise that he, that is Abraham, would inherit the world, did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." Let us pray. Search us, O God. Search us, we pray, and know our hearts. Try us, examine us, we ask, and know our thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful or destructive or wicked way within us. And lead us instead, we pray, in the everlasting way. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's people shall say, amen. It's a good Hebrew word there. Amen. May it be so. Yes, I know, it does look like a typo in the worship bulletin, doesn't it? Ab-venturing. In case you checked, I mean, you can check now if you haven't. Since you've heard that the scripture readings this morning direct our attention toward the figure of Abraham, maybe it won't seem so strange to talk about ab-venturing. I hope that ab-venturing will not seem abnormal. In his letter to the Roman Christians, from which we just read, the Apostle Paul wrote that Abraham is the father of us all. Not only the father of the Jewish people, but of us all. This is because we are all invited, in Paul's words, to share in the faith of Abraham. Now, Abraham's faith rests on God's promise. And what was the promise that God made to Abraham? I have made you the father of many nations, God said, or of many peoples. This term nations, whenever you read it in the Old Testament, just think more of our word like peoples or ethnicities, because it's more about that than it is about like a political group. So the nations are the various people groups or cultures of the world. And Scripture proclaims that Abraham is the father of all of us, of all peoples, of all ethnicities, all cultures. Now, of course, what made this promise to Abraham so absolutely adventurous is that Abraham was a very old guy, and his wife Sarah was no spring chicken either when this promise was given to them. Way past the time of producing children, decades past the time, God's promise to give them a child was met by Abraham with a good deal of hesitation. Now, Paul says that Abraham did not waver in faith, but read Genesis, and you'll find out he did a lot of wavering. There was a lot of hesitation about this, a lot of hemming and hawing, a lot of alternative suggestions for God. Abraham had to learn to come to a point of faith, which, by the way, should be reassuring to us. And God's promise was met by Sarah with a hearty guffaw. Happily, God also appears to have a healthy sense of humor and was not put off by all the dismissive chuckles that Abraham and Sarah offered. In fact, God told them to name their way overdue son Chuckles. Well, that's a loose translation of the Hebrew. The word, of course, as you know, is Isaac, which is Hebrew for laughter. So Chuckles doesn't seem to be quite so far out. So Abraham, about 100 years old, 100. I doubt if there's anybody that's quite there yet here. Perhaps some of you feel like you're pushing it, but 100 years old. Sarah is nearly 90, and they're going to have a little boy named Laughter. That is life from the dead. Paul therefore goes on in this same passage in Romans to characterize God as the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. We just heard the choir sing beautifully from the Apostles' Creed. And I know that the director, Ron, had them really crescendo on, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Because as Christians, we believe that God, creator of all things, is also the recreator of all things. The one who gives life to the dead. We know this and believe this through Jesus Christ. Paul continues writing, hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many peoples. And those many peoples include all of us here this morning. For we too believe that God gives life to the dead. In fact, later in the same chapter, Romans chapter 4, Paul writes that God justifies or brings into right relationship all who believe in this one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, Abraham's adventure in faith is no abstraction. It was very practical for him. In fact, as our reading from Genesis indicates, the adventure began actually earlier than this. He wasn't a young man even then. He was, the text says, about 75 years old when he heard God saying to him, Abraham, go from your country and from your kin and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Now, that's tough already. I don't know about you, but I like comfort. I probably like it too much. I was talking with some people after the first service out there in the courtyard. We're enjoying the sunshine, and let's face it. I mean, I'm not the only one that lives in San Diego in this room right here. We like comfort. That's why we live here. Okay? Look at this sunshine, you know, that ocean just a few blocks away. But I have to admit to you, I like regularity. I like predictability. I like warm weather. I don't really want to ever live again where there's snow. I honestly don't. Okay? I enjoy security. And while in our own time we perhaps feel less tightly connected to things like family and land, we still draw deeply from those roots, I think. Between services, talking with people about where they grew up, where they're from. You know, we like to, that's kind of part of who we are, and we acknowledge that. But we'd have to take our feelings about family and land and multiply it by at least 100, at least, to get a sense for how important this was in the time of Abraham and for a person like Abraham to pick up and go from home and kin. All of your identity, all of your well-being, your purpose, your protection, your food, your shelter, safety and security, everything was tied into extended family connections. Everything. Kinship, community was everything. It was just basic survival. And here Abraham, at 75 years old, is being called out to the land that I, God, will show you. Now that's already a kind of death. How do we leave behind everything we've trusted in? All of our securities and adventure out into the unknown like this? We're really talking about the father of faith. To venture out in this way. I think I'd want to have some assurances up front, at least about where I'm headed. You know, this promise is just go to the land that I will show you. Well, how do you even start? I'd like to know where I'm headed. Could we get maybe a map there, O Creator of all things? How about creating us a GPS system just for the journey? I really don't know what to compare this adventure to that Abraham undertook. Again, I like security. I'm confessing to you right now, I've never gone on an adventure quite like this one. I think maybe it's something like Peter venturing out of the boat, out into that stormy Galilean Sea, strolling on the water. Maybe it's like the woman with the hemorrhage who for years had been rejected by folks around her, and despite her own fears of rejection again, reached through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. Maybe you have your own story of faith, of risk, of adventuring in the face of an impossible situation. Or maybe if you're honest and you're a little bit more like me, you know that you'd just rather play it safe. What might God be calling us to undertake? What risk might be staring you in the face today? Would you, would I be willing to go on a big adventure? You know, we read in Genesis 18 that the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarah and announced to these old folks that they were going to have a baby. This is the place in the Bible where we read that Sarah laughed. She laughed to herself, but she laughed and asked, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I now have pleasure?" When the Almighty asked about her chuckling, she denied it. "I didn't laugh." And I love God's reply right there in Genesis 18. "Oh yeah, yeah, you did laugh. You did." But what happened next in that story is really no laughing matter. We read that the Lord had an internal monologue. I love this too. God kind of asking God some questions. "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that he is to become a great and mighty people, and all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed in him? No, no, for I have chosen him, that he may teach his offspring and his people after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing justice." So God informs Abraham about his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now here's a little adventure in the making. The text tells us, and by the way, in the Hebrew, it's even stronger than it comes out in English, but just trust me on this. Abraham stood up to God and asked, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Would you not forgive the city for their sake?" Now, the Yiddish word for what Abraham is doing here, you know this word, it's chutzpah. It's like the nerve to challenge God in this way. But Abraham's just getting warmed up. He goes on to say, it's almost like a little sermon, "Far be it from you, O God, to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" That's Abraham talking. And that is one of the great sentences in all of Scripture. What a question for a mere human being to direct to the Almighty. Abraham ventures out into unknown territory right here in his relationship with God. He challenges God. He raises ethical issues about God's proposed behavior. I find this really remarkable, and I hope you do too. But, after all, God in that very internal monologue had just said that Abraham was chosen to teach and to do justice. And here the Father of many peoples, including us, applies the standards of justice to the judge of all the earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? Now, most, if not all of you, know the rest of that story. God says, okay, for the sake of 50, I will not destroy the city. But this only encourages Abraham. Well, what if there's only 45? Yes, for the sake of 45, I will relent. And in one of the truly remarkable passages in all of the Bible, Abraham works the number down to 40, then to 30, and somewhere in there says things like, "I know I'm only dust and ashes, but let me continue," down to 20, and then down to 10. And he stops there. And at least a few rabbis later on suggested that Abraham could have taken it all the way down to one person, one righteous person, and God would have said, "Yes, even for the sake of one, I will not destroy it." And our one righteous person that we're counting on, by the way, goes by the name of Jesus. Now, though he stopped at 10, Abraham, our father in faith, teaches us something remarkable here. It's about venturing out with God. We can wrestle with God. We can ask questions of God. We can certainly even challenge God, and that will be all right. God is not offended by this dialogue. Seems like God kind of invites it. Interestingly enough, this story is found also in the Quran. And you know that right at the point in the story where Abraham begins to question God to work this deal, starting with the 50, right there, the Quran zigs where the Bible zags. No kidding. It's really amazing. Instead of this haggling between Abraham and God, the Quran says instead that Abraham began to ask about the children of Lot. Now, Abraham, the text then says, very insistently, was humble, contrite, and submissive. Okay? And the angel of God said to Abraham, "Do not ask about the children of Lot, for God has already decreed their fate, and nothing you say can change it." Now, that's a dramatic difference. And the point is not to say that our Abraham is better than their Abraham or anything like that. It is to say this, that amazingly enough, God calls us to an adventure. We are beckoned by God to venture out in faith, believing in this one, the only one who gives life to the dead, who calls into being things that do not exist. If our Father in the faith is any indication, then God even invites us to venture into praying hard prayers, asking hard questions, even of God, challenging God and crying out for the sake of justice. Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? But let us always remember, always, that adventuring with God places upon us also a responsibility, a calling to seek and to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. So may the steps that we took to come to church today be steps in such a venture. Even if they happen to be our first steps, that's all right. And may we walk with Jesus, who himself wrestled with God in a garden. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Let us walk with Jesus, who walked faithfully to the cross, from which he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And may we walk with Jesus, who was raised by the one who gives life to the dead. Amen. We thank you, O God. You are a God of new life and new possibilities. That in the example of Abraham, we see what it means to hope against hope. That in your time, you give life and make things beautiful. Sometimes our standards of beauty are not your own. We recognize and confess that. But we're also very confident in your loving, sustaining, nurturing, and nourishing presence through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring beauty and renewal to every life. We thank you for each person here today. And I ask in the name of Christ, O Lord, that your Spirit would work in each of our hearts in just the way that we most deeply need. Only you know us through and through. You have searched us and you know us, O God. And we pray that your Spirit would be the healing balm on each of our hearts and our lives in the place where we truly need it the most. We pray, O God, this morning for our pastor, for April. Thank you so much, O Lord, for her leadership, her gifts, her pastoral care. And we ask, O God, that you would refresh and renew her in her time away. And ask for a safe journey back home for her. We pray for those who are sick in this congregation, those who could not come today because of circumstances beyond their control. And we ask in Christ's name that your Holy Spirit would touch them and bring healing and restoration and hope, whatever their situation might be. Oh Lord, we pray for your creation, for all of this planet, and we think of how tiny we are in the midst of a universe of unspeakable size and grandeur, and acknowledge that you're the creator of all. And we might be led to wonder, who are we that you would take notice of us? But your word assures us that you have made us in your image and entrusted us with a vocation and have drawn near to us in Jesus Christ in salvation and in sanctification. May you do your work in our midst, in this congregation, O Lord. We pray for our nation and its leaders and for the leaders of all the peoples. We believe that in Jesus Christ you have proclaimed peace to creation. May we be a people that embodies and proclaims that peace. May our lives be given up entirely to your purposes, that we might bring glory to your name through our words and our deeds and our lives every day, whether it's right here in Pacific Beach, wherever we live, in the job, in school. May our lives really resound in praise to you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and brother, the one who taught his disciples to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.